So now we've got our guardian qualified, and what do they have to do? Well, as you know, there's two types of guardianships. There's guardianship of the person and guardianship of the estate. Because there are more rules that deal with the guardianship of the estate, that's what most of this paper will focus on. So let's first talk about what the guardianship of the person's general duties are. And always keep in mind that a guardianship can be one with full authority or it can be of limited authority, because in Texas, like most states, we're supposed to create the least restrictive guardianship possible. And so, but a lot of times you'll have the court signing an order that gives the guardian full authority. And so generally that's what we're going to be talking about today. If you've got a limited guardianship, it may be that some of the duties that we talk about don't actually apply. So first, talking about what a full guardian of the person has to do, the way to best think about that is that the guardian takes on the role that normally would be assigned to a parent of a minor child. And so what the statute provides, or one of the statutes provides, that a guardian of the person is under a statutory duty to supervise, protect, and care for the ward, and to provide the ward with clothing, food, medicine, medical care, and shelter. So, you know, those are the big things that normally you would expect to have to do if you were in charge of a person's well-being. The guardian also has the right to, as they say, physical possession of the ward, which means that you get to say where the ward is going to go, and you get to establish the ward's legal domicile. So so generally you're in charge of making sure that the ward can live a healthy lifestyle to the best of his abilities and the means that are there for him. There are certain things that we often will see where guardians want to address, especially with wards that might be mentally ill, which is to get them better. And a lot of times that involves some sort of inpatient commitment. Well, unfortunately, a guardian doesn't have the ability to do that when it's necessary for a ward, but that doesn't mean they still can't be committed. It's just that it's got more of the outside world standard where they have to be a danger to themselves or to others. I, as guardian, cannot just say, hey, my ward is currently a danger to himself or to others and therefore needs to be committed. So a lot of times it's not a perfect fit. Guardianships aren't a perfect fit for wards that have mental illnesses, although family members can often find GPs very useful because it allows them to get information, medical information about the ward that they otherwise would not be able to. But you can't use that to force somebody into a treatment center. One thing that a guardian can do, though, is they can consent to the administration of psychoactive medication. And so that's something that might end up being useful in the case that somebody is committed and they are wanting to refuse psychoactive medication. But you can't unilaterally commit somebody. So that's the general powers and duties of the guardian of the person. Now we're going to talk about the general powers and duties of a guardian of the estate. The main thing to keep in mind here is that now this guardian is in charge of the ward's assets and estate, and so they have to make sure they manage them properly. And the standard they have to live by is that of a prudent person. So what would a prudent person do with his own property? How would they manage it? So that's what the standard is. So you can't just neglect everything, but also you don't have to be a full-blown investment advisor that knows all the ins and outs of the markets. So you just have to be what a prudent person would do. And usually that means you're not going to be neglecting things and you're hiring or at least getting advice from people who know what they are doing. Because ultimately you've got to account to the court for everything that happens during the accounting period. And you have to tell the court exactly what has been spent, how it's been spent, and why things were invested the way they were. So the court's going to see what the guardian has been doing. And the court's going to get to decide whether or not the guardian has been acting as a prudent person would. And that's what the bond is for. So keep in mind that if a guardian does not take care of business properly, then they can be sued and their bond can be sued in order to make the ward whole for their failure to act properly. So let's talk a little bit about some of the notice requirements now that occur right after the guardianship has been created. First one is one that we're definitely all familiar with in decedents' estates and guardianships, which is the general notice to unsecured creditors. And that's a thing that occurs in the newspaper, and it has to be published within 30 days after the date of qualification. And so what that does is it says to the world that a guardianship has been created, and if anybody has any claims that they want to present, then this is where they need to present them, usually to the guardian or to the attorney representing the guardian. So that has to be done. Another mandatory notice has to go out to unsecured creditors that are known by the guardian. If the guardian has actual knowledge of the claim, then the guardian has to send them a notice saying, hey, you are an unsecured creditor, and this is what you're, we understand that you have a claim. Now, there's also a way to, and that's a notice to them. They still have any amount of time in which to give their claim if it's a simple notice. But what we also have the ability to do is to maybe cut off some of the creditor's claims by saying, hey, we understand that you have, you may have a claim against the estate, and this is your notice that you need to present that claim within 4 months or it's forever going to be time barred. And so that's something that if a ward has many, many creditors and a lot of them are dubious, you may want to send that out, because creditors routinely don't pay attention, or they don't all pay attention to making their claim on a timely basis.